Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
During the President's State of the Union address last night, he called on Congress to authorize the use of military force to sustain the fight against ISIS and referred to recent terror attacks in Paris and on a crowded school in Pakistan.
We stand united with people around the world who've been targeted by terrorists, from a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris. We will continue to hunt down terrorists and dismantle their networks, and we reserve the right to act unilaterally, as we have done relentlessly since I took office, to take out terrorists who pose a direct threat to us and our allies.
Let's bring in NPR's Pakistan correspondent Philip Reeves in Islamabad. And Philip, this is a complicated alliance. The U.S. grumbles that it's Pakistan that doesn't do enough to fight the Taliban and al-Qaeda. But among Pakistanis following the president's speech, how do you think his pledge last night was received?
I think that comment is welcome in Pakistan. And the reason I think that is that there was a feeling in Pakistan after the attacks in Paris, that the huge crowds that manifested themselves on the streets of Paris were in stark contrast to what is perceived by some here as having been a rather remote and detached reaction to the atrocity that happened at an army-run school in Peshawar, where 150 people were killed, of which more than 130 were kids. So I think these remarks will be appreciated. That said, in Pakistan, there are people, of course, who will always argue that, militancy and Islamist extremism is rooted in Western foreign policy, and that goes back decades. But I think after the atrocity, particularly in Peshawar at that school, people now, in many cases, are aligning themselves with the victims of these atrocious attacks and will very much appreciate the fact that that was acknowledged in the speech today.
Well, so there's the Taliban, there's al-Qaeda, and then there's ISIS, a different group. And again, last night, President Obama said that he wanted Congress to extend an authorization for him to fight ISIS in Syria. But what is the nexus of ISIS in Pakistan, and how might the conversation about ISIS be received there?
It's an issue of considerable concern amongst people in the security establishment. For the last couple of months, signs have been popping up on the landscape that ISIS, the Islamic State, is in some way involved or active in Pakistan. And that could merely be expressions of support. There has been graffiti in support of ISIS that has cropped up in the mega city, the port city of Karachi. There have been a few commanders from the Pakistani Taliban who have overtly expressed allegiance to the Islamic State. And all eyes are also on what role ISIS may be having in neighbouring Afghanistan. And if ISIS, as some fear, becomes a significant force within Afghanistan, especially in the south, then that's something that Pakistani authorities would be deeply concerned about.
Of course, last night the president said that tonight, for the first time since 9/11, our combat mission in Afghanistan is over, but few doubt that there will still be combat among the U.S. troops that are there to train Afghan troops and with an authorization to launch airstrikes if necessary. So people are calling that claim into question. But I want to ask you, the U.S. use of unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, came up in the president's speech. Let's listen.
As Americans, we respect human dignity even when we're threatened, which is why I have prohibited torture and worked to make sure our use of new technology like drones is properly constrained.
Philip, the UK-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism recently estimated that since 2009, the CIA has led 330 covert drone strikes in Pakistan. The rate of civilian deaths is falling, but civilians still being killed. So talk about his comment on drones.
Well, every time there's a drone attack that's ascribed to the United States within Pakistan's sovereign territory, there is a complaint from the Pakistani government. The truth is that the situation is rather more ambivalent than that. You do meet Pakistanis who, when you talk with them more privately, will tell you that they rather favour drones because they can't see any other immediately effective way of tackling mobilised militants who are in a landscape where there aren't an awful lot of choices. And it should be pointed out that the reason that civilian casualties have come down might, in at least in part, be connected by to the fact that they have, out of the tribal belt, particularly North Waziristan, decanted nearly a million people in order to allow the Pakistani army to go in there and try to crush the Taliban and their allies who've been in that area for ages, using it as a haven. So those people have been moved out, and they're now internally displaced people within Pakistan, and that in itself presents a problem for the people who are trying to govern this country.
That's NPR's Philip Reeves listening in on the President's State of the Union from his perch in Islamabad, Pakistan. Philip, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.